You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As usual, we kick off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. It's certainly been a rather interesting set of numbers that have come through from the market's perspective. I'm joined by founder at Herenia Capital Advisors, Pietri Redling, to take a look at the market movements. Good evening, Marmalade. Lovely to speak to you again. Did you catch anything interesting on the markets? It seems as though a lot of it was quite uneventful.
Yeah, well, good evening. I think it's a good place to start. And I think what is catching me by surprise, actually, is if you look at how the U.S. markets, the session started compared to where it is now, it's quite a turnaround. I mean, at one point, the market in the U.S. was down, you know, over 1%, and now we're positive by 0.2. So that's quite the bounce. On our side, I mean, the market has been frustrating. I was under pressure most of the day, and then ended up green as well. So bit of an interesting day, if not maybe a bit frustrating.
We'll come back to the SA picture in a second, Pietri. I want to look at the US picture because you started there, and we got very early on market open effectively in the US. We got GDP numbers out and stronger than expected, but offset by the fact that, or actually helped along by the fact that initial jobless claims also came in a little lighter and a little more positive.
Yeah, so let me just get the GDP numbers here. So the expectation was obviously for 2% sort of growth, and it came in just above that. So I think what's happening is that, I mean, a lot of the focus here is still on interest rates, to be honest. And this is a conversation that we've had before, so I don't want to sound too much like a broken record. But that's why you have this sort of double whammy effect where the initial reaction to GDP numbers is negative, because higher GDP means
stronger economy,
which means higher interest rates. So there's almost like each side of the equation that you look at here is being perceived as bad. Well, at least higher interest rates is going to be bad for equities. However, you know, if there's the likelihood of lower interest rate, the market will rally. But in, I think, you know, the knock-on effect of that is actually recessionary. I don't know. It's a confusing time, right? But yeah, I think also something that is interesting is, you know, the NASDAQ and the tech bubble, has that really started bursting? Is it sort of still going? We see how sensitive they are to economic data. And now the market is bouncing really hard. There's also quite a lot of fear, I guess, around what's happening with Joe Biden. Why he's out the running? Is it going to be Kamala? Does this mean that we have a different outcome? I mean, it seemed almost like a slam dunk for the Republicans. Do the Democrats now have a chance? So there's a lot of sort of uneasiness going there. And I think something that we noticed is the sort of the US yield curve is starting to yields are starting to sort of go up again, which is a bit of a telling sign that people are getting out of bonds in the US. So now the question is, are they getting out of bonds because they felt that the S&P and the NASDAQ has fallen far enough in the last week or two and they want to get back in? Or are they getting out of bonds because they're are they sort of looking for somewhere safer, aka not the US? Or is it is it like a risk on trade? Are they moving it into emerging markets? We don't know where that flow is going to just yet.
And as we wrap up, obviously, the month of July is a very telling sign, because typically the month of July is a lot of institutional managers might be taking a bit of a break or coming back from the June-July sort of European summer break, so to speak, preparing for the second half of the year. And typically this is a quieter time, but we've actually seen that this time around, this year in particular, it's actually been quite busy.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, from a seasonality perspective, and this is just really for our local market, but I guess it's kind of reflective of the rest of the world. Seasonally, the month of July, and this is using data from sort of 1995 up to 2022, on average, July is up by around 1%, right? The only months that are stronger than July is November, similarly at 1%. January generally at about 1.75, April just over 2.4, October around 2%, and December just over almost 2.5%. So July actually turns out to be, from a market performance perspective, one of the stronger months on the calendar. So from that perspective, you know, generally seeing that we performed relatively well isn't like that far out of, I guess, what is ordinary. I think what is surprising to us, or at least what feels surprising, is we've got all these risk catalysts and all these really scary things happening, and the market's still going up, which is a bit surprising. I mean, if we look at our performance this month, essentially 97 basis points higher, so that's around 1%. So that's kind of tracking what's the average since 1995.
Markets are going up in some cases, but I'm looking at a gold price, and the gold price today alone is down more than 1.5%. Is that as a result of that potential higher for longer conversation within the US as a result of those GDP numbers? Because inflation on that side also isn't really suggesting a higher for longer. We might still get rate cuts come September. What's happening with the gold price?
I think, simply put, yeah, I think that there's a reaction to the data. And I think we can sort of look at this from a rational perspective now and say, well, we probably still see rate cuts. But, you know, the market, the way the market feels now is if we have, you know, the strong GDP numbers, strong employment numbers, strong economic data coming through, they, you know, are going to keep inflation or the interest rates high. So you can still make good return on interest bearing instruments, and maybe the sort of precious metal hedge isn't that necessary because equities still go up, right? So I think that that's a relatively short-term reaction. Also, just contextually, we've seen gold essentially rally to the top end of the range. I think we were talking about gold when we did that podcasting together, right? It was a couple of weeks ago. And we spoke about it at the time that gold is kind of knocking on this $2,500 door, which is the top of a range. And the way that we measure the range here, at least, is from 2019. To date, where it's kind of ranging in this big channel higher, right? And it was at the bottom of the range sort of 2019, January, hit the top of the range in 2020 when gold kind of peaked at around just above $2,000, $2,050 or whatever it was, moved to the bottom end of the range again in November 2022 at $1,600. And it's moved all the way back to the top end of the range now to $2,500, basically, almost. So from here, we feel that the next move is down to the bottom of the range, which is closer to $2,000. So it's not necessarily indicative that, you know, I think it's very tempting to look at stuff like gold and think that, you know, the day-to-day movements is very, it's in response to economic data, which it very much is. But the bigger sort of trends that are in place, like this expected move that we have down to the 2,000 mark, is really kind of a cyclical thing, right? We know that gold trends up over time and is an inflation hedge over the very long term. But we also know that, you know, it's, you know, in 2024 alone has gone from, you know, $2,100 at the beginning of the year to $2,450, $2,480 not so long ago. Percentage terms, that's a huge move, right? And it has to, at some point, kind of cool off a little bit and, you know, take a bit of a breather. It's been in a very strong upwards push essentially over the last 2 years, and some downside kind of back to the moving averages, do a bit of a mean reversion. It's starting to make a lot more sense that that's the higher probability outcome at this point, that irrespective of what the economic data is, for the next year or so, gold would likely trend down.
Very interesting viewpoint on that, given that the local miners have been suffering as a result of just today's price movement. I mean, I'm looking at the top losers in terms of market movements today, and the likes of Harmony are on the top of that list, DRD Gold, all of the gold miners really, off the receiving end of a movement like this. Are we saying that if we are going to see this trend down, that we could potentially see more weakness for the gold miners?
I mean, probably, yeah. Now you start you start adding a slightly stronger rand to that equation, which I think is also quite likely, even though over the last few days the rand's weakened quite a bit. I think, you know, once the GNU situation starts to play out and we start seeing, you know, once we reach like 300 days of electricity, you know, I think that the rand gets quite a bit stronger and it'll put more pressure on the local miners, right? Are they going to go bankrupt? No. But, you know, are they extremely sensitive and very highly geared to movements in the gold price? Yes, absolutely.
That's certainly going to be an interesting picture to watch, especially as we head into the rest of the year. Speaking of interesting pictures, before I let you go, Pietri, I want to get your thoughts on the impact of the United States developments, or at least or the United States elections potentially on markets. I mean, we're seeing that nervousness, and you touched on that earlier as well, to say the conversation right now is very much around what's going to happen there. Are we seeing some institutional money or potentially some offshore money in Europe moving around and moving out of US treasuries and potentially saying we want to wait and see what happens with the election and then we'll dip back in?
Well, I can't speak so much to fund flows yet because I think the news is still a little fresh for us to really be able to draw any kind of meaningful trends from what's been happening, right? But I think from a sentiment point of view, I almost said sentimental, but from a sentiment point of view, I think that, you know, Biden 12 days ago saying, I'm running and no one can stop me, that seemed like a slam dunk for Trump at that point, right? Mm. Now he's not running. And oh, as you can imagine, conspiracy theories abound. But with this Trump assassination attempt, I don't know if we've spoken since then, Trump essentially became a superhero that day. The fact that he fist pumped the air after that cemented his legend status with all his supporters, right? So that strengthened his position hugely. And I think that markets will react, at least in the short term, very positively to a Trump election, as they did last time. Now that Biden is no longer in the race, it starts to bring into question if Trump can actually win this, because if I don't know if Kamala Harris is a strong enough opposition candidate or even if she'll be the nominee in the end. But if they bring a Barack Obama back, for example, or even a Michelle Obama, that may change the tide a little bit. That may change the fortunes. And that, I think, is a very market, potentially high impact market catalyst. Like if we see Barack Obama say, I'm running, which I don't think he can. But let's say Michelle Obama runs. I think she might have a chance at winning this thing, right? So I don't know. It's a wild card. We have to wait and see who the candidate is, who the nominee is going to be. But essentially what looked like a very almost certain outcome has now become 50-50.
Certainly a very interesting picture unfolding. I, for one, am glad we got our election out of the way because we couldn't deal with the drama of the US and the drama of the GNU. But we'll leave it at that, Pietri. Thank you as always for the time and for the insights. Pietri Redlinges, founder at Herenia Capital Advisors, joining me to reflect on the market movements, share some thoughts and sentiments around what's happening in the US and how it potentially affects us.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.